The scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, and I'm going to begin reading with Mary visiting Elizabeth, which is on Luke 1, verse 38, and I'll read through Mary's song. Listen to the word of the Lord. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. So far, the reading of the Word of God, this beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. Before we open this truth of God, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we look at this song of Mary, which reflects that simple faith, knowing that there is nothing impossible with God. She who was highly favored received in her body the mighty creative work of the Holy Spirit. What an amazing thing. Truly great is the mystery of godliness, that God became man. Lord, bless us today as we look at all of this together. And as we partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper together. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, brothers and sisters, the song of Mary is a beautiful song. It's a song which has come down through the ages. There's many churches sing that song. It is a wonderful song. It is a song of true faith. Let's look at this song of Mary. She speaks about the blessing of God's mercy. The word mercy is found throughout this song of hers. There are three things I want to note with you. The blessing of God's mercy on the mother of our Lord. Second, the might of God's mercy over the world of the Lord. And then thirdly, the faithfulness of God's mercy over the people of the Lord. The blessing of His mercy. the might of his mercy, and the faithfulness of his mercy. Mary sang in response to what Elizabeth said. She was told by the angel Gabriel that she was to be the mother of our Lord. An amazing announcement that this young girl, young lady, we don't know how old she was. We don't think she was very old. She received the message of the angel that she would become the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it is an amazing thing. And the angel said to her, "Your relative Elizabeth is also with child in her old age." Because Elizabeth and Zacharias were very old. And Zacharias had been told while he was standing at the altar that he would become the father of his son by his wife Elizabeth. But Zacharias doubted it. He said, "I'm way too old, and so is my wife." And the angel of the Lord said, "Because you don't believe me, I'm going to prove it to you. And you're not going to be able to speak. You're going to be dumb, unable to speak until this great event occurs." And then the Lord sent the angel Gabriel to Mary and said, "Your relative Elizabeth is also expecting a baby in her old age. For," and this is what the angel Gabriel said to her, "for nothing is impossible with God." Now that is a marvelous statement of fact. Nothing is impossible with God. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Nothing is impossible. God is able to do exceeding abundantly, says Paul in Ephesians 3, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Nothing is impossible with God. And so Mary, in obedience to the angel's word, goes to her relative Elizabeth. And she sees that Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. It's quite obvious that Elizabeth, this elderly woman, this old, old lady, is going to have a baby. I mean, it's amazing. It's impossible with man. But, as the angel said, nothing is impossible with God. And so here it is. And when Mary enters the house of Zacharias and Elizabeth and is greeted by Elizabeth, what happens is something which I think every mother will be able to relate to. The movement of a baby in the womb. I asked my wife this week, I said, "Do you know what that is?" "Oh, of course I know what that is. I know what that is. The baby moves in the womb. It's a wonderful thing. It shows the baby is alive." But with Elizabeth, this little infant, John the Baptist, who is in her womb, when Mary comes into the house of Elizabeth, that little baby leaped in the womb of Elizabeth. I mean, that is an amazing thing. And Elizabeth says to Mary, "As soon as I heard your voice, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." What an amazing thing. Because what was in the womb of Mary was the eternal God who took upon flesh. through the Virgin Mary. And when Mary, with the Son of God in her womb, enters Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. And then Mary speaks this song in response to Elizabeth's words, in response to the leaping of the infant in her womb. In response to that, Mary sings, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Now let me ask you something. Why do you think that Mary sang at that time? Why didn't she sing right when the angel Gabriel told her that she was to be the mother of the Lord? She didn't sing then. What she did say is, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." That was a beautiful statement of faith and of obedience and of submission to the will of God. That was beautiful, but it wasn't a song. She didn't sing until Elizabeth made this wonderful confession. "What a wonderful blessing it is for me that the mother of my Lord should come to me. And when I heard your voice, the babe leaped in my womb." And then Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Do you know why she did it then and not earlier? Well, I don't know exactly why, but I can guess. She's a very young lady. What was announced to her was overwhelming. She had to have time to process that. And now when she comes to Elizabeth, she is confirmed in the truth and the reality of what happened to her. And she breaks out in song. Do you know that throughout the scripture, whenever there was a great event, the response was singing? You read in Job chapter 38, verse 7, that when God called this whole universe into being, when God created the world, the morning stars sang for joy. Who are the morning stars? They're the angels. When God created the heavens and the earth and everything visible and invisible, the angels sang. And do you know what happened when the children of Israel went through the Red Sea as on dry ground? That enormous event, Miriam broke into song and led the children of Israel in singing at that event. And do you know, when Jesus ascended into heaven, we know the story from this side. It's found at the end of Matthew and the end of Luke and the end of Mark. And it's the beginning of Acts. Jesus ascended into heaven, and a cloud received him out of their sight. But we know what happened on the other side, the heaven side. You read of that in Revelation 5. You see what happened when Jesus, the ascended Savior, came back into heaven. John sees him in that vision, the Lamb of God, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and as a lamb that was slain. And what happens? The angels break out into song, and the 24 elders around the throne of God break into song. That's the church of the Old and the New Covenant. And all the four living creatures break into song, and there's just a volume of singing into heaven as Jesus returns victorious having accomplished the great work of redemption, that his body was broken, his blood was shed, he was buried, but on the third day he arose. Up from the grave he arose, a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. And when Jesus entered heaven, there was the great song of the angels. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive the honor and the glory and the riches and the wealth and the blessing. Whenever great things happened, there was the response of singing. When Jesus was born, there was the song of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men on whom his favor rests. There was the singing because God has done great things for us with, because of that we are glad. Oh, this is a time of joy. No wonder we sing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room in heaven, and nature sing. So Mary sang this beautiful Magnificat, the song of Mary. She speaks of mercy throughout that song, because it was indeed mercy that sent the Savior. Mankind didn't deserve it. Didn't earn it for sure. It was God's mercy. When we take the Lord's Supper this morning and it is handed to you, that's mercy. That he who is the Son of God and the Son of Man gave his body and his blood for a complete forgiveness of your sins and my sins. That is mercy. We don't deserve it. It's all of grace. It's marvelous grace. It's amazing grace. But that's what it is. It's grace and mercy that God has for us. He loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Does this fill you with a sense of awe, a sense of joy, a sense of peace? That's what it has to do. That we stand before the Lord amazed at his marvelous grace to us. And so Mary speaks about God's mercy to her. To her. God's mercy. Listen, my soul magnifies the Lord. That's all she can do, is to say how great a God we have. My soul magnified. To magnify is to make great. My soul magnifies the Lord. She does not talk about how great she is. I honestly think that if Mary knew the kind of worship she receives in some communions, she would be honestly offended. She is not eager for adoration against herself, for herself. She is humble. She is the recipient of God's mercy. It's like we sing in that song, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. That was her. She uses the word Savior. My soul doth magnify the Lord, my Savior. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he looked on the humble estate of his servant. She was a humble servant of the Lord, and she was not out to promote herself at all. Not at all. She's a humble servant of Jesus Christ. And in her womb, the miracle occurred that God became flesh. It is beyond our comprehension. But it's not beyond our faith. We have to believe it with all our heart. We have to believe that the eternal God took on human flesh through the body of His servant, Mary, who was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit created within her the Savior, Jesus Christ. It is utterly amazing. But it is a wonderful truth. A truth that honestly surpasses our ability to totally comprehend it. But we believe it. We believe it. By faith, we are saved. Through grace that we receive by faith. So Mary sings about the mercy on her as a mother of the Lord. She says, He looked upon the humble estate of His servant, for behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. That's the church. All generations who call her blessed, that's the church. And the first one, the first person of the church to call her blessed was Elizabeth. There's the response of the church already before the child is born. And Elizabeth says to her, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. From now on, all generation will call you blessed. That's the response of the church. We call her blessed because she was the instrument of God's wisdom and God's miraculous, creative salvation, which He made and did through Mary. And so she says, He who is mighty has done great things for me. Talk about great things. The greatest of all was that this child was created in her by the Holy Spirit. She had asked a very legitimate question to the angel Gabriel. How can this be, since I know not a man? How can this be? How is it possible? And then the angel says to her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you, so that the holy thing that is born of you shall be called the Son of God. She says, Great things have been done for me. The greatest thing of all is that God became flesh through her instrumentality, through her body. I mean, it's amazing. It is a wonderful truth. It's the truth that lies at the very heart of the Christian faith, of the Christian religion, that God became man and took upon Himself our human nature. And you know how Paul describes that? Him who knew no sin, God made Him to be sin on our account, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That's a great thing, that there was this wonderful exchange, that our sin was laid on Him, and His perfect righteousness is laid on us, and we become His righteousness by faith in Him. Do you believe that? That's why you're here today, isn't that right? As you take that bread and take that cup, we remember and believe that Jesus Christ, who received His human nature from the Virgin Mary, that human body was broken It was broken for your sake and my sake. And his blood that he received from Mary was shed for you and for me. It was the wrath of God that was upon us that was transferred to him. Isn't that grace? We didn't deserve it. We surely didn't earn it. But he gave it to us. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, says Paul. So Mary speaks about the blessedness of God's mercy to her. Secondly, the might of God's mercy is over the world. Mary speaks as a prophet. She speaks as a prophet. And she says, "He who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generations. He has shown his strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away." You know, Mary knew her Bible. She knew her Bible. And I'm thinking that maybe she remembered the words of Daniel in Daniel 2. Daniel was asked by Nebuchadnezzar, not only Daniel, but all of the other wise men and astrologers of that time, they were asked to tell Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was. What his dream was. Well, none of them could. And Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, "There's not a person upon this earth who knows what you dreamed." But that night, Daniel went to the Lord and said to him, to God, "Show me the dream that you gave to Nebuchadnezzar." And that night, Daniel received that dream. And the next day, he says to Nebuchadnezzar, "There's not a person in the world who knows what you dreamed. But there is a God in heaven who told me what you dreamed. And this is what you dreamed. You saw a great image, the head of gold, the torso of silver, legs of iron, and feet mixture of iron and clay. And there was a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. And that stone came rolling down the mountain, and it hit that image. And the image fell, and the stone ground it up. And that stone went on to fill the whole earth. Now, who is that stone? Who is that stone cut out of the mountain without hands? Who is this child that was born without man?" God said no to Joseph. He said no to Abraham, no to David, no to Adam. No, no, no. You're not going to be the father of this child. I am going to be the father of that child. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. He was as a stone cut out of the mountain without hands. And that stone came rolling down the mountain, and that's Jesus Christ. And he hit that image and ground it up and went on to fill the whole earth. Mary refers to the might of God over the kingdoms of the earth. She says, "He has brought down the mighty from their thrones." Daniel said, "That head of gold is you, Nebuchadnezzar. And the silver is the next great kingdom." You see, Nebuchadnezzar didn't last. The next kingdom came, and then the next, and then there was Rome, and there was Greece, and there was Napoleon, and there was Adolf Hitler, and there was Joseph Stalin, and there was Mao Zedong, and there was Castro. All of these people who thought they were so great. What does Mary say? He brought down the mighty ones from their throne and exalted those of humble estate. Mary is a prophet here. She speaks prophecy. She speaks prophecy just like Isaiah did. When Isaiah speaks prophecy, he speaks as if it has already happened. He says in Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, but he was wounded for our transgression. It's in the past tense. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It looks like it has already passed, and yet it was 700 years before it happened. But that's the word of prophecy. They saw the future as if it had already happened, and that's what Mary is talking about too. She speaks and says, he brought, that's in the past tense, he brought down the mighty from their throne and exalted those of low estate. Mary is the humble servant of God, and she sees with a prophetic understanding that the child under her heart is going to be the ruler of the world. That's who he is. It's just what Psalm 72 says, Christ shall have dominion over land and sea, earth's remotest region shall his empire be. Ever and forever shall his name endure, long as suns continue, it shall stand secure. This is Jesus Christ under Mary's heart at this point. Not yet born. But Mary speaks as if it has already all happened, because she sees God's hand and his plan, and that nothing is impossible with God. So Jesus gave his life for you and for me. What an amazing story. And then the faithfulness of God's mercy is seen in his people. As Mary sings and says, he has helped his servant Israel. In remembrance of his mercy, he has spoken to our fathers, to Abraham and his offspring forever. And God said, didn't he, to Abraham, I will be your God and the God of your children. And you shall have a son. And in that son, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory, who gave his life on Calvary, whose life and death we remember in a special way this morning. As we take the bread and take the cup, in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that this Savior, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, buried, descended to hell, but the third day he rose again, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and he shall come again to judge the living and the dead, and his second coming is just as sure as his first coming. And he came to take away sin. He came to destroy the devil's work. He came to reveal his Father. And he came to get us ready for his second coming. And so he's coming. There's not a word of the Lord that is going to fall to the ground. Nothing is impossible with him. And there will be a day when he shall appear upon the clouds of heaven, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. And he will come and gather his people to himself as a mother hen gathers her chicks. He's coming. And he's coming for you and for me. He comes in a personal way when the time of our departure comes. When we breathe our last, that's his coming for us. That's his personal coming. Are you ready for that? He is coming. The years of our days, says Psalm 90, are 70, or if by strength, 80. I've already passed that. And so have some of you. We are living, so to speak, on borrowed time. He's coming. Are we ready? As that song says, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. This Lord's Supper is given to us prior to his second coming, prior to his coming for us personally, because once we've passed the golden shore, so to speak, once we've breathed our last, and the Lord welcomes us into his home in heaven, saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, may you and I hear that. May we hear his word, welcome. Then we won't need the Lord's Supper anymore, because we shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. Do you know that? Do you know this Savior? Are you ready to meet him? He's calling you and he's calling me. Repent of your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So eat and drink in faith, remembering and believing that Jesus' body was broken for you and his blood was shed for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. That's the gospel. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless us now as we take the Lord's Supper together. We thank you, Lord, for the marvelous grace of God, far beyond what we deserve, and certainly we haven't earned it. Bless us, Lord, as we worship. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.